Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Imagine yourselves as having these tiny, highly specialized antennas projecting right from their surface.
Yeah, as a cilia.
Right, cilia. And they are absolutely essential for sensing the world around you. Now, what happens if the microscopic scaffolding inside those antennas starts to fail?
And, you know, not when you are a child, but slowly, almost imperceptibly, much later in adulthood.
Exactly. We actually know quite a lot about the surface of these cellular antennas. I mean, science has mapped out the proteins that build their outer walls in really incredible detail.
But what really happens when the internal support beams, the proteins hidden entirely away inside these microscopic tubes, begin to collapse?
How could a single missing microscopic support beam lead to a gradual progressive form of blindness? That is exactly what we are exploring in today's deep dive into the hidden architecture of human sight.
It is such a compelling question because it forces us to look beyond the obvious. When we think about cellular structures, or really even human-made architecture, we naturally focus on the visible exterior.
Right, the stuff we can easily see.
Exactly. But the integrity of that architecture frequently relies on hidden internal components that are, quite frankly, incredibly difficult to isolate and study.
Yeah.
When those internal components are compromised, the downstream effects on human health can be profound, yet they remain practically invisible to our standard diagnostic tools.
Today, we celebrate the work of Abigail R. Moye, Carlo Rivolta, and their extensive team of collaborators spanning institutions like the Institute of Molecular and Clinical Ophthalmology, Basel, and the University of Basel, who have advanced our understanding of the genetic and structural causes of inherited retinal diseases.
To really grasp the significance of their findings, we need to understand the clinical landscape these researchers are navigating. They're investigating a category of conditions known as inherited retinal diseases, or IRDs.
And these are genetic disorders, right?
Yes, genetic disorders that specifically affect the survival and the function of your photoreceptors. Those are the highly specialized neurons in the back of your eyes that actually detect light and translate it into a signal your brain can understand.
And this research specifically touches on two prevalent subtypes of these diseases, which manifest in pretty devastating ways for patients. The first is retinitis pigmentosa.
Right. For someone living with this condition, the onset is usually insidious.
You typically experience progressive night blindness first. Then, slowly over time, you begin to lose your peripheral vision.
It creates a sort of tunnel vision effect.
Yeah, and eventually, the disease progresses to affect the central vision as well, leading to total blindness.
The second subtype they focused on is cone rod dystrophy, which presents quite differently. In this condition, instead of losing the peripheral vision first, the cone cells in your eye are the primary casualty early on.
And your cone cells are the ones that handle color vision, right? Along with sharp central visual acuity.
Exactly. So for a patient with cone rod dystrophy, they are losing their ability to read, to recognize faces, or to see fine details right in the center of their visual field.
Plus, it causes a severe, painful sensitivity to light, which is known clinically as photophobia.
That is the daily reality for these patients. Now, if we pan out and look at the bigger picture of genetic medicine, we encounter a massive hurdle in treating these conditions. It is known in the field as the missing heritability gap.
The missing heritability gap.
Right. Over the years, scientists have linked more than 500 different genes to various forms of inherited retinal diseases. And incredibly, between 17 and 25% of those genes are directly related to the function of those tiny cellular antennas we mentioned.
The cilia, which really highlights just how vulnerable the cilia in your eyes are to genetic defects. I mean, if even one protein is built incorrectly, the whole antenna can just fail.
It can. But here is the heartbreaking part for families dealing with these diseases. Despite our incredibly advanced genetic sequencing technologies today, a huge gap remains.
Depending on the specific study or population, anywhere from 20% to 50% of patients with these conditions still lack a clear genetic diagnosis.
We really need to pause and think about the human element of that statistic. Imagine sitting in a doctor's office, losing your sight, and agreeing to undergo comprehensive genetic testing. You wait weeks for the results, hoping for an answer, a target, maybe a pathway to a clinical trial.
And the results come back completely negative.
Exactly. The doctors essentially tell you that you have a genetic disease, but they cannot find the gene responsible. There are hidden genetic culprits out there that our standard diagnostic lenses simply haven't been able to bring into focus.
So, to figure out where these hidden culprits might be operating, we have to look much, much closer at the biology of the eye itself. We need to talk about the photoreceptor cilium.
Right.
You can think of it as a highly modified version of a standard cellular antenna. In most cells, a normal primary cilium just sits there, acting as a non-moving sensor for the cell's environment. But in your eye, this structure is specialized to an extreme degree.
It really is a marvel of biological engineering. This specialized cilium acts as the vital connection between two main compartments of the photoreceptor neuron. On one side, you have the inner segment.
Which is like the factory.
Yes, you can conceptualize the inner segment as the cell's bustling biosynthetic factory. It is where all the necessary proteins, energy molecules, and lipids are continuously manufactured.
And on the other side is the outer segment, which is where the actual magic of vision happens. The outer segment is packed with these stacked membranous discs that house all the light sensing machinery.
So the cellular antenna, the cilium, acts as the only physical bridge connecting the factory to the light sensors.
And that physical bridge is incredibly narrow. It is a microscopic hallway about 1100 nanometers long and only 300 nanometers wide. Every single molecule required to build and maintain those light sensors over your entire lifespan has to be safely transported through that tiny corridor.
And the structural integrity of that bridge is maintained by an arrangement of microtubules. These are basically tiny, hollow protein tubes that form a cellular skeleton.
For a very long time, researchers have focused intensely on the proteins that attach to the outside of these tubes.
Because that is where most of the genetic discoveries have been made historically.
Right. But the team in this paper decided to focus on a protein that was, until now, a bit of a mystery in human disease. A protein known as MDM1.
MDM1 stands for mouse double minute 1 nuclear protein. Historically, it was mainly known in the scientific community as a protein that hangs around the cell's centrosome.
And the centrosome, along with structures called centrioles, basically acts as the main organizational scaffolding center for a cell, right?
Yes, and MDM1 was known to suppress the duplication of these centrioles.
We did have some clues from animal models, though. Scientists knew that if you knocked out this protein in mice, it caused their retinas to degenerate.
But mice are not humans. Its true role in the human eye, and crucially, whether a defect in this protein actually caused blindness in humans, was totally, completely unproven.
To solve this mystery, the research team had to employ a highly rigorous, multi-layered methodology. They couldn't just guess. They needed hard data. So they started with genetic sleuthing.
They gathered extended cohorts of individuals diagnosed with late-onset recessive retinal dystrophy. Importantly, these were patients who previously fell into that missing heritability gap. They had the disease, but no clear genetic diagnosis.
To find the needle in the haystack, they utilized whole exome sequencing, and in some more complex cases, whole genome sequencing.
For those listening who might wonder about the difference, whole exome sequencing focuses specifically on the protein coding regions of your DNA, the instructions that actually build the cell's machinery.
Which represents about 1-2% of your total DNA.
Exactly. Whole genome sequencing, on the other hand, looks at almost everything, including the vast regulatory regions between the genes.
By meticulously sifting through terabytes of genetic data from these undiagnosed families and comparing their DNA to healthy populations, they finally found a matching anomaly in the MDM1 gene.
But here is the critical limitation of modern genomics. Finding a mutation in a sequence of DNA doesn't tell you how the resulting protein actually functions or fails to function inside the three-dimensional architecture of the human eye.
Genetics gave them the what, but they still needed the how and the where. To figure that out, they needed to look at the cellular skeleton itself.
But the structural beams inside these cellular antennas are so incomprehensibly small that standard laboratory microscopes simply cannot see them clearly.
This is where we run into a fundamental law of physics called the diffraction limit of light. Even with the best traditional light microscopes, structures that are closer together than about 200 nanometers just blur into a single glowing blob.
You cannot distinguish the individual parts. So how do you see the minute nanoscale details of a structure as delicate as a cilium?
Instead of trying to build an impossibly perfect magnifying glass, the researchers use a brilliantly innovative technique called iterative ultrastructure expansion microscopy.
They changed the sample itself.
I am obsessed with how they did this. It sounds like science fiction. Can you explain how it works?
I like to think of it like drawing a highly complex, detailed picture on a deflated balloon. When that balloon is completely deflated, the lines of your drawing are squished tightly together. If you look at it, you can't tell what the drawing is. It just looks like a dense smudge of ink.
Yeah.
But if you take a deep breath and inflate the balloon, the rubber expands uniformly in all directions. Suddenly, the lines separate and all those intricate details become perfectly clear.
So they essentially inflated the human tissue.
Essentially, yes. They embedded human retinal tissue into a specialized water-absorbent polymer gel. Then, through a series of chemical reactions, they forced that gel to swell and expand.
Wow.
They physically enlarged the retinal tissue by a factor of about 10. By inflating the biological balloon, they pulled the densely packed proteins apart just enough to bypass that physical limit of light. This allowed them to clearly see the nanoscale scaffolding of the cilia using a standard confocal microscope.
That is just incredible. But seeing the structure still wasn't enough. They didn't stop with imaging.
No, they needed biochemical proof of how this specific protein was physically interacting with the cellular skeleton. They needed to see the molecular handshake.
So they used a technique called cross-linking mass spectrometry. And to get enough cilia to actually run this test, they had to source them from somewhere highly unusual.
They needed a massive volume of motile cilia, the kind that actively beat and move. So they isolated thousands of moving cilia from the epithelial cells of bovine tracheas.
Cow windpipes. They used the microscopic hairs inside the windpipes of cows to solve human blindness. Science is wild.
It is a perfect example of how highly conserved these cellular structures are across different mammalian species. The fundamental building blocks of a cow's airway cilia are incredibly similar to the sensory cilia in a human eye.
Once they extracted these bovine cilia, they applied a chemical crosslinker. What does the crosslinker actually do in this context?
You can visualize the chemical crosslinker as a pair of microscopic molecular handcuffs. If two proteins are sitting right next to each other, physically touching or interacting, this chemical binds them permanently together. It freezes them in place.
Okay.
Then, by taking this frozen complex and running it through a mass spectrometer, which analyzes the mass and charge of molecules to determine their exact composition, they could map the precise amino acid level connection. They were searching for the exact point of contact between the MDM1 protein and the microtubule structures.
Let's unpack the results. What did this combination of genetic sleuthing, balloon expanding microscopy, and cow windpipe biochemistry actually reveal?
Here is where it gets incredibly rewarding for those patients who spent years living in the dark regarding their diagnosis. The team identified biallelic loss of function variants in the MDM1 gene across 6 subjects from 5 unrelated families.
And we should clarify what biallelic loss of function means for the listener. We inherit 2 copies of most genes, 1 from each parent. Biallelic means that both copies of the gene the patient inherited carried a mutation.
And loss of function means those mutations were severe enough that the body could not produce any working version of the protein at all. The essential building material was completely missing.
Because this study provided such definitive proof linking the gene not just to centrioles, but to a crucial structural role in the cellular antenna itself, the scientific community actually officially renamed the gene.
It was changed from MDM1 to SACTO6.
That stands for Stabilizer of Axonal Microtubule 6.
Renaming a gene is a significant event in biology. It reflects a fundamental shift in our understanding of its true biological function, moving away from how it was initially and perhaps narrowly discovered in mice.
And what's truly fascinating here is where the researchers finally located SACTO6, using that expansion microscopy. It isn't just floating randomly around in the cell fluid, and it isn't attached to the outside of the ciliary skeleton like most known disease-causing proteins.
SACTO6 is a microtubule inner protein. In the field, we call them MIPs.
It is an inside job. The microtubules that make up the skeleton of the cellular antenna are long, hollow tubes. The researchers proved that SACTO6 lives completely hidden inside the lumen, the empty inner space, of these ciliary microtubules.
That perfectly explains why it was so incredibly elusive for so long. If your genetic investigations and microscopic imaging are only looking at the outside of the cellular scaffolding, you're never going to see the support beams running through the dark interior.
And the structural nuance they uncovered by looking inside is striking. The ciliary skeleton extends from the inner segment factory straight through the connecting hallway and distally into the light-sensing outer segment.
Right. In the rod photoreceptors, the ones responsible for your night and peripheral vision, the researchers noticed an asymmetry. The skeleton of a standard psyllium is generally made of 9 pairs of microtubules arranged in a perfect circle. But in rod cells, SAC-AXO6 didn't line every single microtubule evenly.
It only colocalized with 6 to 7 of those microtubule doublets.
But in the cone cells, the ones responsible for color and sharp central vision, it was completely different. In the cones, SAC-AXO6 bound to all 9 doublets in the circle.
That structural asymmetry in the rods versus the total reinforced symmetry in the cones is a massive clue. It suggests a highly specialized way these different cells manage the physical stress of keeping those delicate outer segments stable over the course of an entire human lifespan.
That physical stress is not trivial. Our eyes are constantly moving, and the proteins in those outer segments are constantly being renewed. The scaffolding has to be incredibly resilient.
And the cross-linking mass spectrometry data provided the final molecular confirmation of this resilience. The researchers found the exact molecular handshake. SAC-AXO6 binds directly to alpha tubulin.
Alpha tubulin is one half of the fundamental two-part building block that constructs the entire microtubule wall.
And the chemical handcuffs prove just how tight this connection is. The cross-link data shows that the physical distance between these two interacting proteins is an incredibly tight 30 angstroms or less.
To put that scale into perspective for you, 30 angstroms is roughly the width of a standard DNA double helix. It is an unbelievably tight, intimate connection hidden deep inside the dark core of the microtubule structure.
If we synthesize all this data and look at the broader implications for human health, this study is a landmark. It links SEXA proteins to Mendelian, meaning inherited genetic conditions, for the very first time.
It provides definitive proof that mutations in microtubule inner proteins can directly cause human inherited retinal diseases. This firmly establishes the condition as what we classify as a first-order ciliopathy.
The primary defect causing the blindness is intimately, structurally tied to the architectural integrity of the cilium itself.
As I was reading through the paper, there was a clinical observation that really made me pause. Obviously, the primary symptom for all these patients in the study was progressive blindness, but the clinical data showed that 5 out of the 6 patients also had type 2 diabetes.
Now, my first thought playing the skeptic was, isn't type 2 diabetes incredibly common in the aging population anyway? How do we know this isn't just a total statistical coincidence that these specific older patients happen to have both?
It is the exact right question to ask, and the researchers rigorously addressed it. They ran the statistical probabilities comparing this specific small cohort to the general population. The statistical enrichment for type 2 diabetes in this specific group yielded a p-value of 0.00002.
Which in plain English means there is roughly a 1 in 1,000 chance that this is just a random coincidence. That is a very strong statistical signal.
A very strong signal that raises profound implications. Are we looking at a localized eye disease, or are we looking at a syndromic ciliopathy?
Syndromic ciliopathies are conditions that affect multiple systems in the body simultaneously. A classic example is Bardet-Biedl syndrome, which often presents with both retinal degeneration and systemic metabolic issues like severe obesity and diabetes.
Because, as the researchers demonstrated with the cow tissue, SAC-AXO6 isn't just in the eyes. It is found in cilia throughout the entire body, including the airways.
Correct. Since this internal support beam is utilized in various tissues, it is entirely plausible that losing it affects metabolic signaling pathways elsewhere, such as in the pancreas or adipose tissue.
However, the study rightly exercises caution and notes this as a critical area requiring much further large-scale clinical investigation before definitive systemic claims can be made.
We also have to acknowledge the study's broader impacts on genetic screening, as well as its current limitations. For the field of genomics as a whole, this fundamentally redefines how we approach those patients, trapped in the missing heritability gap.
If a patient comes in with progressive blindness and their genetic sequencing comes back negative for all the known genes that build the outside of the cellular antenna, doctors and researchers now know they have to look inside the support beams.
This opens up a whole new category of hidden structural proteins to investigate.
As for limitations, the scientific journey is never fully complete. While the researchers successfully proved that SAC-AXO6 resides completely inside the microtubule and binds tightly to alpha tubulin, we still lack a complete three-dimensional model of the interaction.
Further structural analysis using ultra-high-resolution techniques, such as cryo-electron microscopy, will be necessary.
We need to see exactly how SAC-AXO6 bridges the individual building blocks of the tubulin wall. Does a single SAC-AXO6 protein span across multiple units to reinforce the structure?
How exactly does its physical presence absorb or regulate the inner stability of the microtubule when the cell is under mechanical stress. The dynamic mechanics of this internal support system still need to be fully mapped.
The discovery of SACO6 variants reveals that the microscopic internal scaffolding of our retinal cilia is absolutely essential for long-term vision.
When these hidden inner support proteins are lost due to a genetic mutation, the photoreceptor's delicate architectural structure eventually collapses under the weight of time, leading to late-onset blindness.
It serves as a powerful reminder that what happens on the very inside of a microscopic tube, entirely hidden from view, can ultimately determine whether a complex sensory neuron survives or degenerates over the decades of a human life.
If our cellular antennas require such intricate hidden internal scaffolding to function over decades, what other structural microskeletons in our bodies are quietly holding our senses together, just waiting to be mapped? What does this mean for the future of genetic medicine and how we look for the hidden causes of human disease?
It is going to be fascinating to see where this leads the field next.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Within the psyllium's lumen, a quiet keeper holds the line. 6 families whispered a pattern, a late falling shade revealed. High resolution maps and gold beads mark where the barns are sealed. Small cohort, clear signal, a fragile brace in the field. Expansion images spread the scene, revealing pattern rows. Crosslink separate size addresses, a bond beneath the globe. A tiny brace for long thin rails, stabilizing what we know. We follow the filament back to life.